Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Take it away, Julie.
Good morning. Good morning. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. This is our first on December 7th, our first Wednesday in December 2016. I hope everyone is doing well. I am back. We had to do a little bit of creative programming the last couple of weeks. We had some kind of interesting things going on with health and a family member. And just a lot of interesting things the last couple of weeks. But I am back to spend this December with you, and I am super excited to be here. Today's show is going to be my Brain Bits show. I just love doing these shows, and I've had a lot of really great feedback on doing the Brain Bits shows, the shows where we just bring out a lot of the latest research in neuroscience as it applies to our day-to-day lives and improving different parts of our lives or achieving more success in different areas of our lives by maximizing our brain power and our brain knowledge, stepping into our natural gifts, and just really, receiving success when we are comfortable in who we are, and then what neuroscience is doing to help us on that. Always, I could probably do this just as the show, period. Just literally do a Brain Bits show every week and bring out something new that is coming out of the field of neuroscience, because there's just so much. It's so fascinating what they are showing and how it's applying into psychology and psychotherapy and just all kinds of interesting and fun things. So that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to be talking about the brain and learning a foreign language. We're going to touch a little bit on that. Let's see, what else do we have in store? We're going to talk about exercise and depression. There's some real recent, and I've talked about exercise before and the benefits to the brain and, the different qualities and chemicals, neurochemicals rather, that is being produced in your brain when you're exercising and why that helps with that. But they've come out with some additional information. So I just like to keep, the more evidence that we have to support certain lines of thought, the more apt we are as individuals to actually apply that in our lives, right? The more we believe it, the more we feel it's valid, the more that we are going to be willing to put forth the effort to make those changes in our lives. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the brain and psychotherapy, a little bit about how to understand and work with PTSD, and what's going on in the brain with the triggers of PTSD. So we got some fun stuff to cover. And then, of course, there's always more. I think that's probably about all we'll get through today. But if there isn't, then I'll throw in a couple of exciting things at the end. But lots of fun stuff going on in the field of neuroscience. So with that, before we just dive right in, I do want to remind everyone to connect with me. Reach out and connect with me on all of the social networks. I'm looking at doing some coming in 2017, trying to do some more interaction with my live speakers, fixing it so that we can either interact on Facebook, maybe connecting this to Facebook Live. I'm not sure I'm going to be brave enough to do that. See if I can, how much multitasking I can do. But we might be attempting to do that in 2017. Facebook Live is just going crazy, and I think that would be a fun way to interact with the audience and to have people, you know, listen in, and then they can type in and ask questions live on the show, which I think would be really fun to do. So we're going to be looking at doing that in 2017, looking to have some fun there, more exciting speakers. But anyways, for my 2017 year, I want feedback. I want to know what you want to hear as listeners. What would you like to see me include? What have I done that you don't like, that you're not crazy about? Give me some feedback. Any kind of feedback is constructive for me. And if I can make adjustments that make the show better, then of course I want to do that. I want to make it more enjoyable for my listeners. And then again, as well as enjoyable with guests. You know, it's always fun to have guests on the show. I enjoy doing guests. I just want to make sure that they're guests that you want to hear. So give me some feedback. Connect with me on Facebook. It is Purple Brain Lady. That's my fan page, Julie Anderson, Purple Brain Lady. So you can connect with me there. You can message me there. You can, you know, tweet me, message me on Twitter with @BrainLady is my handle on Twitter. I am on LinkedIn as well as Brain Lady. And then, of course, email me, info@yourbestmindonline.com. That is my main page, yourbestmindonline.com. And you can email me at info at that address and give me some feedback. Give me some suggestions. If you know of someone who would be interested in being on the show or you think would be a good fit with mindset, with neurochemistry in the brain and success, you know, any of those topics, or it's just somebody really interesting. Maybe it's a book you've read. Maybe you want to come in as a guest on the show and share some of the things from a book that you have read. There's so many books out there, and it just keeps growing. I can't keep up with them all. So if you've read something that I haven't read and you want to share that on the show, let's get you on. Let's get you scheduled in 2017. So I look forward to expanding that in the upcoming year. Okay, so do that for me. Do that. And if you know, we are on iTunes, of course, under Brain Lady Speaks radio show, or just Brain Lady Speaks, actually. So, you know, if you want to catch past shows, you can either go to the Brain Lady Radio Show.com page and look up past shows, or you can go there to iTunes and listen to past shows under Brain Lady Speaks. All right. I think that's all the homework that I need, or the housekeeping work there that I needed to do this morning. Let's go ahead and get into brain bits. Let's start out with the language one. I just found this. Again, you know me, I'm just tickled when I can find anything about what brain scans are showing, and you know how they're helping us get more out of life. And learning foreign languages is something that I've always wanted to do. I mean, I always thought it would just be so cool. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to be able to say, yes, I know 5 different languages. I speak Russian and Spanish and French and English and, you know, all those different things. I know several languages. I always thought that'd be really cool to do. I do know 2 languages. I'm actually very fluent in American Sign Language. So I can, I'm very good at talking with my hands. I've been doing that for many, many years. I actually learned it when I was when I was 15, got to learn that. And of course, when you learn languages at a younger age, I like to tell people, we just don't have, when we're younger, when we're in our teens, our brain is not, you know, completely myelinated, and it's just more, it's more formable. So at 15, it was great to learn the language. I became fluent very quickly. And have a lot of friends and connections within the deaf community and very attached to deaf culture. So anyways, that was very beneficial to learn that at a young age. And it has served me well in my life. And I have made wonderful friends and wonderful connections because I had that bridge to communicate with other people in other cultures and other languages. And it is, the deaf culture is a culture in and of itself. It is not just it is not just a foreign language, but it is also an amazing, amazing culture, a rich culture, incredibly rich. Incredibly rich. So anyways, enough about deaf culture and that language, but it is cool to be able to have that other language and to be able to interact with other individuals. I want to learn several other languages. I've been trying to learn Spanish, although I have not have not been done so successfully. I think Spanish is a very functional language, especially if you live in the United States, because there are just so many Spanish-speaking individuals. And in California, of course, we have quite a few. And it would be very beneficial for me to learn that language. And so I've wanted to, and I've started to try to, and this article here that I was reading has some great tips that I'll be sharing with you as well. But what they did is they were scanning the brain of individuals that were learning foreign languages. And it was very interesting that as they scanned, they did show that there were individuals who were more apt to or had a natural bent to be able to learn a foreign language better. And they found this out by looking at brain scans. And they were studying and scanning 22 beginning Mandarin students. So students who were using learning that particular language. And what they found was quite interesting. They found that your ability to learn a new language may be influenced by your brain wiring. English speakers learning Mandarin reveals that people who learn better have more nerve fibers in certain areas of the brain. And we are going to, I talked a little bit too much, got a little bit on a tangent here because we're running right into our first commercial. So when we come back, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about those areas of the brain and how that affects your ability to learn and some tips to learn. So join me back after break on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Hey there, it's Christine Gallagher from She'sGotClients.com. I'm really excited to share with you the first annual Get Clients Online giveaway. I have gathered a spectacular group of contributors who are providing you with amazing gifts that will help you get cash flow in clients in less time online. So I've teamed up with more than 50 other business industry leaders to bring you templates, checklists, and other valuable goodies to grow and scale a sustainable business that brings you more income with less effort. So all you need to do is head over to getclientsonlinegiveaway.com, put your name and email address in, and you'll get instant access to more than 50 free business building tools, templates, products, and services, including Facebook funnel templates, LinkedIn cheat sheets, sales scripts, and so much more. That's getclientsonlinegiveaway.com. Head over there and enjoy your free gifts.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff. And find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
All right. Okay. So let's get back to this foreign language, see if I can stay on track here. So anyways, these individuals who were English speakers who were learning Mandarin showed that certain portions of the brain, two regions primarily, and this is very interesting, primarily in the right hemisphere. Now, when we've talked about brain in the past and what goes on in different portions of the brain, the left side of the brain is more your words. Okay, that's where your words, that's where the Broca's area of the brain, which is the home of audible speech, that's front left portion of the brain. The Renwicki's area is in the back left portion of the brain, and that's where your sequential filing bank is. So that's where spelling is housed, right? Just where all those words are in a sequence. So I was thinking, what is it in the right hemisphere when I first saw this? I was like, well, maybe it has to do with the fact that the written Mandarin language is based on pictures, because the right side of the brain is the picture part of the brain. So that's where all the images are in language. And I was thinking, okay, well, maybe this is what it has to do with. Maybe it has to do with the fact that learning the language is connected to the way that the language itself is written, because it's much more a script or a picture than say the English language or the French language or Latin-based languages. However, it was interesting that it said that wasn't the reason that they were applying it to. They were saying that they said, like a freeway express lane, highly aligned fibers in these particular sections of the brain are thought to speed the transfer of information within the brain. Although language is traditionally associated with the left hemisphere, the right, which seems to be involved in pitch perception, may play a role in distinguishing the tones of Mandarin, speculates this study that was done at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where they were scanning these brains. And I thought that was very interesting. So it has to do more with, because in your Oriental languages, they're tonal languages, right? And so they have all of these, you can say the same sound, basically, only with a different tone behind it, and it changes the meaning completely. So that's what they're looking at, the portions of the brain and how that is affected, or what portions of the brain activate in those scans. So then individuals who are naturally gifted in these areas, and we've talked about in the past how they can scan the brain and find that some people do actually spend less energy to process a cognitive thought in certain sections of their brain. So then this would lend to say that individuals who spend this less thought in these sections of the brain tend to be more bent or have a more gift, especially in the tonal languages. There was another study that was published in the June of 2016. So there's just this past year in June, in the Brain and Language. And it said that EEG scans before an intensive online French course revealed patterns of brainwave activity in a relaxed resting state that correlated with completing the course quickly and easily. In the past, researchers have observed this kind of activity when people put together sentences, says the professor here at the University of Washington, psychologist who led this study. Chantel Pratt was his name. So it's very interesting. It says that these EEG, showing people their EEG images in real time to train them in certain types of brain activity can prepare them to learn a language better. In other words, basically looking at the EEG and saying, here's the portion of the brain that needs to be active, and then having the person literally think about activating that portion of the brain. It's very interesting. It's just so interesting. And they're saying that by doing this, it actually engages the brain in such a way that it will be easier to learn a language. The article has some other little points that I thought were interesting. I'll throw these in here in terms of how to learn a new language, what some good tips on how to learn a new language. One of them is just to constantly have the foreign language playing in the background. It says their state was put on telenovelas as you cook. It says hearing a foreign language in the background can help you learn it faster, even if you're not paying attention. And it's interesting how the brain processes when it's in kind of a space out state. pardon me. And I've talked about this, how when you're trying to learn any subject, They've said that it's good to focus on the subject and then take that break and go do something completely different and let your brain start to make these different connections on its own without being forced. So just playing it in the background, they say, when you're trying to learn something is a great way to do it. They also say that, you know, because we're as an adult, it's a little bit more challenging than if you're learning as a child. They say to watch for social clues, pay attention to nonverbal clues, eyes, gestures. This is huge, obviously, in sign language, right? I tell people that it is your facial expressions in the signed languages that make the difference in the meaning of a sign. So there's a lot of languages, obviously, you know, Italians are known for using a lot of body language. So pay attention to that. Sleep on it. Going to bed soon after drilling vocabulary and other practice can help consolidate what you've learned. So I tell people, you know, your brain defrags when you're sleeping, right? It also makes those critical connections so it can connect the object that you saw with the word that you learned. It kind of does this subconsciously as you're sleeping, so sleep on it. It talks about listening to your own accent so that you can pronunciate, actually record yourself, and then that's going to pronunciate. What is that? Is that even a word? So that you can pronounce better, articulate better. Tape record yourself and then listen to it so you know what you're sounding like. Repeating the words, of course. And then nothing is going to be as effective as immersing yourself, right? Just immersing yourself in the culture, working with native speakers, watching native speakers interact. So lots of fun stuff on language. I thought that was just, I just love the fact that they can isolate in the brain what's going on. And that you can enhance that by focusing your thought and actually increasing the circulation, if you will, in that area of need where you're learning, where your brain needs to have the extra circulation. Okay, so moving on to the second thing that I wanted to talk about was exercise. I've talked about how in the past that depression, individuals suffering with depression can be assisted by exercise, and that exercise, it changes the brain chemistry and how that will help you produce endorphins in the brain. And of course, shared one of my favorite quotes of all time is by Elle Woods. If you haven't heard me say it before, Elle Woods in the movie Legally Blonde, she says that her whole defense basically for her client and why her client could not have possibly killed her husband is that her client is an exercise guru. And so her statement is loosely quoted here. I don't know what the exact specific quote is, but it's exercise creates endorphins. Endorphins make you happy, and happy people just don't shoot their husbands, right? So, but seriously, it does have this this effect on the brain. And now they're really, really, really working with individuals who actually making exercise as part of the treatment for depression. Let me do a disclaimer here. If you are suffering from depression, if you are under medication, if you are under care of a doctor, please discuss this information with them. If you listen to this and you say, you know what, I would love to include exercise as part of my therapy, so I'm just going to start doing it, please, please, please make sure that you check with your therapist. I would never, ever, ever want for you to listen to what I'm telling you and say, okay, I don't have to take my medication anymore, or I can reduce the dose of my medication based on what the Brain Lady is telling me on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. I want you to always make sure that you check with your physician or any care provider whose care you are under. Okay, so let me make that perfectly clear first. But this particular article, and this is out of, This is out of Scientific American Mind. You know I refer to this often. I absolutely love this, love this magazine. It poses the question, can a steady routine of physical workouts keep psychological disorders in check? In the case of depression, the answer is an emphatic yes. So the article goes on to say that there's, in the case of depression, the collective evidence to date suggests that the answer is this yes. Exercise is by no means a panacea. In other words, it's not going to fix everything. However, in severe cases of depression, it just being the only thing that you do, it's not going to necessarily work. But scores of experiments now show that exercise is much more than a temporary distraction from the mental woes or some ultimately inconsequential pollutive. So it's saying that it's not just a distraction. It's actually doing something to combat depression in a number of different ways. It says that it is strengthening our biochemical resilience to stress. That's one. It is encouraging the growth of new brain cells. Okay, that's two. It bolsters self-esteem. Three, and possibly even counterbalancing an underlying genetic risk for mental illness. For most people with mild to moderate depression, exercise is one of the strongest, safest, most practical, most affordable, and even enjoyable treatments available. We're going to get ready to go to our second break here, but when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about these, how many people they've been studying and what these different studies have shown and what it's showing on brain scans. So join me after the break on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay. So here we are. What a little bit more on exercise, a more recent study, because they've been studying this for quite a while and I've talked about many different studies, but this is a new one that I haven't quoted. Swedish scientists assigned 946 patients to mild or with mild to moderate depression to one of three 12-week treatments. Twice weekly sessions of yoga, aerobics, or strength training, internet-based cognition therapy, or standard counseling plus medication. So there was exercise, the internet-based cognitive behavioral therapy, or just your medication and your regular counseling. It said patients in all groups improved, but those engaging in exercise experienced the greatest benefit. So there's lots of information. They talk about how much, and again, it has to do with this in creating a neurochemical balance. Back to that fact that the exercise strengthens our biochemical resistance to stress. In other words, it calms the amygdala down. We've talked about the amygdala being in the action portion of the brain. It is your fight, flight, your fear response. Gets kind of everything gets started there when the amygdala senses fear or senses stress. It kicks this off. And in depression, it's very overactive. And so this exercise helps to strengthen the resilience to that kicking in and being overactive. It encourages the growth of new brain cells, which I think is just incredible. And a lot of these brain cells are growing in these in these portions of the brain, in these subconscious portions of the brain. It says, going on here in the article, it says exercise boosts your heart rate, sending blood, oxygen, hormones, and neurochemicals surging through the body. And this habitual moderate stress rewires the brain and immune system to better cope with physical and mental strain. The better the body becomes at dealing with the stressors of the physical stressors, because when you're exercising, you're stressing your body out to a level. And it says when it becomes better at dealing with the stressors of all kinds, this lowers the risk of a depressive episode. So it can actually shorten those, you know, those really highly depressed time. It says exercise also seems to mimic some of the chemical effects of antidepressant medication. Based on increasing evidence, some scientists feel that cases of depression result from impaired growth of both brain cells and the connections between those brain cells. Studies have documented the atrophy and loss of neurons in the brain regions such as the amygdala, the hippocampus, and the prefrontal cortex in patients with major depression. Okay. However, this exercise can increase levels of serotonin and other neurotransmitters that might work by reinvigorating neural proliferation, neuronal growth, okay? So growth of your neurons. This process depends in part by the brain-derived neurotropic factor. And in studies with both animals and people, exercise enhances this neurotropic factor. So that's the reason why it works. It talks about how much is needed. So if you suffer from depression and you're wanting to, after you talk to your doctor and your therapist or whoever your care you're under, and you start to engage in exercise, don't feel that you have to go out and work out for 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. It says that they feel, those with mild to moderate depression, when they watch them for a period of 3 months and they exercise 3 to 5 times a week on a treadmill or stationary bike at low intensity or even high intensity, they had a 47% improvement with depression. So 3 to 5 times a week, just doing something active. I always like to encourage the outside. On one of the past shows, I shared about how important it is to try to get out in natural spaces. Because these natural spaces, there's something different about the way that the brain reacts when it is out in nature versus when you're, you know, working out in front of just a wall. So walking in natural spaces is also really good. Okay, so that's exercise. Constantly getting more and more information coming out of the field of neuroscience that discusses the benefits of exercise. So there's just some more information there. Okay, I wanted to, another one of the brain bits that I wanted to share is on individuals who suffering from PTSD. And for those of you who don't know much about PTSD, I'm not going to go into a long explanation of this, but this is when there is some kind of traumatic event that takes place in an individual's life that damages them on a psychological level. They can suffer a recurrence of that same stress. And it's very interesting when they're scanning the brains of someone recounting a memory of something that happened the brain scans, and a lot of times that chemicals, the neurochemicals and the activity of, in the brain is incredibly similar, if not even identical, to the way the brain scans when you're actually forming a memory. So it can be that for individuals with post-traumatic stress disorder, the feeling, reliving that stress or having that traumatic experience pop up in your memory or in a nightmare can be just as the chemicals in the brain are going to be, could be just the same as when the actual event originally happened. So it causes a lot of challenges for individuals who deal with PTSD. And one of the things that is very common is something that they call these triggers. Something that triggers that memory that makes that brain pull back those feelings. So you have to understand what those triggers are, of course. And again, if you're suffering from PTSD and you're hearing this, this is just additional information that I'm sharing with you. I really want you to always be sure that you talk to your therapist or whoever's care you are under. But it's really interesting that individuals, what they're finding is actually going on in the brain when you are going through these, someone is experiencing this response in the brain. What happens, it says, when clients experience a sympathetic hyper arousal, the parts of their brain that can calm things down are shut down or go offline. So the brain just, you can't think. And I've mentioned this before, the prefrontal cortex of the brain is the section of the brain that really is critical for rational thinking, figuring out the consequences of our actions, being able to process through a stressful situation and manage that stressful situation effectively. That is what the prefrontal cortex, that is one of the many things that the prefrontal cortex does. So when you are in a situation where someone, you're suffering from a PTSD event, and the brain all of a sudden shuts down this prefrontal cortex, because what happens is that amygdala that's down in the subconscious, it all of a sudden feels that fear or that stress again, as if it was really happening. And I've talked in the past again about what that fear stress response does in the brain. So that amygdala goes, okay, I'm shutting down non-important systems in the body and I am sucking down all of the available oxygen. I mean, this is a very simplified way of visualizing what goes on in the brain, but the amygdala goes, I'm sucking down all available oxygen so that I can manage this situation, because my job as the amygdala is to protect this body, is to send out whatever messages need to be sent out to the body to take care of the situation. So this is what happens, is these are the portions of the brain that would normally calm the amygdala down, this prefrontal cortex that would normally calm the subconscious down and go, wait a minute, this isn't actually happening. This isn't a real situation. Let's work our way through this. So it shuts down. And this is where working through situations and therapists or psychotherapist, need to help get that. You need to get that prefrontal cortex re-geared and rebooted and started again so that the rational brain can kick back into gear. So by doing that, sometimes you have to, they're saying that the individual in the room, pardon me, whoever that may be, needs to become the prefrontal cortex or needs to become the rational person and bring that prefrontal cortex back online. The opposite end of the spectrum. So that is the hyper arousal, which will oftentimes, that's the hyper arousal is one way that the body deals with it or the brain deals with it. And that causes a high state of physical energy, high emotion, and low ability to regulate or calm your feelings, right? Then the hypoarousal is low physical energy, low emotion, and low access to cognitive functioning. So in that particular situation, when it's a hypoarousal situation, it activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which causes several brain structures in the brain to go offline, including the insula, which is the connection where you're aware of what's going on in your body. That's what the insula in the brain does, is it transmits information about what's happening to your body. The amygdala, we talked about that. That's the emotion, you know, that's registering that fear. And the hippocampus, the anterior cingulate, and the prefrontal cortex. Again, how to process the incoming responses. So the result for these individuals is disconnection from their body, their feelings, and their rational mind. So it is important, again, that now with them, it's not so much as helping them to calm down as it is to helping them be mindfully aware. And I've talked about mindful meditation before, and basically you wind up doing this with the individuals. You help the client to, or you help the individual to just feel the place that they're in right now, feel the ground beneath their feet, feel the air around them, hear the sounds around them, you know, just help them to reawaken these portions of the brain that have been shut down. But it's very interesting to know that they can scan the brain during these episodes and find out that there is actually what's actually going on in the brain. And it helps us as individuals, if we have people in our lives that suffer from these challenges, we can now go, okay, they're not just spazzing out, or there's something wrong with them, or whatever. We know, we can now say, okay, there's something, literally the chemistry in their brain is shifting, it's shutting down critical portions of the brain, and we need to be understanding of that. All right. Okay. We're getting ready to go to our last break here on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Stand up, take a deep breath, and join me after the tune.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the last segment of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show for our first show here in December of 2016. We are talking brain bits today and how to utilize neuroscience in our day-to-day life and just the fun little things that we are finding out. So we talked about, we talked about PTSD and we talked about exercise, lots of fun stuff. And now we're going to talk a little bit about food and mood. Just real briefly, I thought this was just a quick little article that I found really interesting because it talked about cholesterol and food and how it affects our body. And it might be something to really think about if you are one of those people who are you know, constantly dieting and constantly concerned about your weight, you might want to think about this. This is Joy. It was an interview done with, Joan Borisenko, who is she's a best-selling author. She is a biologist, a psychologist. Her best-selling book, Minding the Body, Mending the Mind. she was being interviewed, and she asked in her research, what was she finding out about cholesterol? And she said, there's definitely a food mood link here for you. She says, for years, literature has indicated that for men, the lower their cholesterol, the more prone they were to depression, because you need cholesterol for your brain and your nervous system to function. There's an excellent correlation between low blood cholesterol and depression. So I thought that was really interesting, especially for individuals. I mean, a lot of individuals who battle their weight, they suffer, you know, they have to battle depression right along beside it. You know, low self-esteem based on the way that they feel about their self-image and the way that they, you know, how frustrating it is to try to lose weight. So I thought that was a very important point. She was then asked about, you know, what is the both good and is she talking about both good and bad types of cholesterol being low? And she says, I'm talking about the so-called bad cholesterol. Incidentally, only half of people who have heart attacks have high cholesterol. Studies show that older women need to have higher cholesterol than they did when they were younger. So it's very interesting what they're talking about. She goes in to talk about the different types of foods. And of course we've talked in the past where we know that, the good cholesterol or the good fats that you're going to get from things like avocados and nuts, they're very, very good for the brain. But I thought that was just an interesting little point there that they found that actually, you know, these men, especially who work to lower their cholesterol, are also prone to depression. So be cautious. A few weeks ago, we did a show on having a healthy view of food. And I interviewed a gal that brought on some really good insight in that. So go back and listen to that show about having a healthy relationship with food, so that if you are trying to lose weight, it's not connected to depression or negative emotions. Pardon me. Okay, I want to finish up by this really cute little article because I think it's really fun to look at. Right now, phone apps or device apps, you know, your iPad, your Galaxy tablets, we all have them, right? We all have these apps that we can download. Shameless plug here. I thought this would be a great way to remind everyone that we do have a Your Best Mind app. So type in on your Galaxy store or your Play store or your iTunes store, Your Best Mind. It'll pop up really quick if you just run those together. Don't separate the words. Just go Your Best Mind. And we have an app there. So lots of fun things. But what they're talking about is sorting through all of these therapeutic apps. There are tons. I didn't realize until I read this article just how many apps there are out there. There are literally thousands of apps that are designed for helping you to be mindful, you know, manage your mindfulness. They're actually apps that act as portable mood journals, you know, so you can track your mood and kind of look at, you know, what you're doing and what your activity is and how that is affecting your mood. There's a bunch of things out there. Of course, there's the apps that track your activity. You know, how active are you being? Are you getting enough exercise, right? There's ones that literally help you to, you know, keep your hydration up. I mean, there's just apps, tons of apps, positive thinking apps. In our app, in the Your Best Mind app, you know, you'll get a bunch of just once a week, you know, you'll get a fun brain fact and a positive thought to on Mondays to kind of get you out through the month or through the week. So lots of different fun things that these apps can do. But the question was posed is, do they, what are the hazards and do they really work? So are they worth the hazard? So obviously we know that there is a hazard involved in anything that we're doing online, and apps are online, right? They're connected to this, this worldwide web of stuff. And you have to be really careful about your privacy, how much information. The article really said that they're not completely, totally, everything can be hacked, right? Everything can be broken into. So be careful about utilizing an app that is going to store too much of your very personal information. Of course, any of your social security number, your credit cards, and then your physical address. You know, don't ever do that, because you don't ever want to lead anyone in that, you know, to let you know where you're gone or when you're gone. However, is it worth that? You know, is it worth the challenge, or is it worth the risk? Well, in some cases, it might be to have these apps. I mean, obviously, don't pick the ones that are going to take all that personal information out there. But it asks if these apps help. And in some cases, I mean, the study's still out on it. But a handful of apps that have submitted themselves, it says, to an independent study, most of them in pilot efforts. Here they did, one of them was the U.S. Veteran Administrative's National Center for PTSD. They surveyed sample veterans who used this app called PTSD Coach and found that 80% of the 45 subjects, so it was a small group of the 45 subjects, found that the app to be moderately to very helpful. There was another clinicaltrials.gov. Currently list 152 funded studies on tech-assisted mental health interventions, and many of them said that, yes, there was an improvement. A website of the app Gratitude Journal asserts that just 5 minutes daily is all it takes to rewire your brain and unleash everything great in your life. So that might be a little bit of a stretch, but it did say that 93% of the feedback they're getting from their clients say that they do see a decline in their social anxiety. So it's interesting what's out there. If so long as it's private and it's safe, then it certainly can't hurt. So long as it's not taking too much of your time away from real interactions with people. And again, if you are suffering from any kind of depression or PTSD or any of these, you know, serious situations, don't look at an app and say, oh, this is going to fix it. Get help. You know, seek out a professional that can help you with that situation. That's very important. All right. That is going to be the show for the day. Oh, my goodness. This time was just like, whoa, it went by. It always goes by so fast. See why I said I could probably do this, you know, easily do a Brain Bits show, you know, twice a month, if constantly, right? Because there is just so much amazing information. And yeah, just love to talk brain stuff, love to talk Brain Bits. So with that, reminding everybody, I just mentioned it, the Your Best Mind app. Go online or go on your phone or your device and download that. Lots of fun that we have for 2017 planned there. I promise I'm not going to like be sending things out 5 times a day and drive you crazy. I don't have the time to send things out 5 times a day. That would drive me crazy. Okay, so connect with me on Facebook. It is Julie Anderson, Purple Brain Lady. It is on tweet with me. Connect with me on Twitter at Brain Lady. Send me an email, feedback, suggestions, questions, anything that you want to know about the Brain Lady and what she does. Go to info, send an email to info@brainladyspeaker. Oh, I'm sorry. Send it to Your Best Mind Online. info@yourbestmindonline.com. And check out the website, yourbestmindonline.com. Check out where I'm going to be. I speak all over the place all the time. If you happen to be in the general area where I'm speaking, come join me. Come sit in. I'd love to be able to connect with you. That would be a lot of fun. So connect with me. Stay engaged. looking forward to 2017 and the amazing things that we're going to have going on next year. If you have suggestions, thoughts, feedback, send it on in. And thank you very much for taking a listen to the Brain Bits for the day. Share these information. If you think that you like what you're hearing, I meet people all the time who say, oh, I love the show. I love the show. And so share it, you know, share the show with other individuals, tell people about the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. I'd love to have everyone tune in and give me feedback. I'm looking forward. I'm going to count on all you guys out there. I'm going to count on my listeners to when I start doing the Facebook Live to listen in and to interact and to ask me those questions. You're going to have to help me out. You're going to have to support me. You're going to have to be my crew. All right. Until the next show next week, I want you to have an amazing week. I want you to get out and exercise. I want you to take deep breaths. I want you to just enjoy every beautiful moment that you have. Thank you for joining me on Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive.